You know, but I was thinking about this word today, and normally when we take grad Sunday, we kind of tailor the word to kind of focus in on the graduates. But I think that this word today is for all of us. And I think it's a word that it could be applied to all of our lives, because what I'm going to be talking about today is that God always has something more for our lives. And no matter what season you find yourself in, no matter what age you are in this building this morning, that God has something more. God is never done with your life. And I believe this, that the best is yet to come for all of our lives. And God always wants to do something special in every season of our lives. And so today the word is going to be simply to keep growing. And I just believe this, is that no matter where we are, that God always wants us to keep growing. And today we're going to be looking at a particular passage of scripture. It's found in the first chapter of Genesis. It's a book that a scripture that I've read several times in, you know, my life, hundreds of times. And, you know, the Bible has 66 books. The Bible has, you know, 1,189 chapters and over 31 verses. We know that. We know how long the Bible is, but we don't know how deep the Bible is. And you can read a scripture over and over, and God can apply a different revelation of that scripture over and over to you. And today, I'm going to share with you a scripture that I read a few weeks ago. And as I was just kind of going through the Old Testament, this scripture literally jumped off the page, and I began to do some research. And I begin to see that there's a scripture that we read all the time, and there's so much more meaning to it. So I want to draw your attention to Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, and we're going to read a few verses together. It says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and all over all creatures that move along the ground.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And he said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Let's pray. Father, we are excited to hear your voice today, God. And we pray that your voice may stand out among all the other voices that we hear in our heads. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, this particular passage of scripture in the first chapter of Genesis, this is the first words of God out of his mouth after he created mankind. This is technically the first command of God. This is in the Hebrew language. It is literally read as a command from God. And this is his first words to mankind. And I believe that we often should pay attention to what God does first, because the way the kingdom of God works, the way God's kingdom economy works, is that first is always something best. And in God's kingdom, when we hear him say something first, we got to pay attention to it. So this is the first words that God said to mankind, and he tells them, "Hey, I want you to be fruitful, and I want you to increase." And oftentimes when I read that particular passage of scripture, I was thinking that God was talking about just having more kids. And some people take that scripture literally. Just ask the Kistners. 13 kids later. I don't know how many kids you got, but. But it's important to know that there's so much more to this passage of scripture, because this is a command to God. In fact, this is what most scholars call a continual command, meaning that this is a command to all mankind and for all seasons of life. Meaning this, so when we're pre-childbearing age, when we're during childbearing age, and even when we're post-childbearing age, we are to be fruitful and we are to increase. Right? Another reason why we know that this command is way more than just childbearing is because Jesus, who is the ultimate human being, who is the ultimate person that we look towards, he didn't have any kids. And he is the perfect fulfillment of the law. Meaning this, that every command that was given in the Old Testament, Jesus fulfilled. He he fulfilled the commands. And so this command that God gives mankind to be fruitful and to multiply, Jesus fulfilled it, but he didn't have any kids. Secondly, Paul, the Apostle Paul, he was a person who encouraged people. In fact, he begins to say that there's a gift of celibacy, a gift of you living a life of singleness. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. And so what we know in this scripture is that being fruitful and being and increasing is a lot more than childbearing. In fact, I believe this, that being fruitful and being and increasing in your life is for every aspect of your life. No matter what season you find yourself in, no matter where you are in your life today, especially for you graduates, God wants to remind you that his first command to you is that whatever you do, make sure you're fruitful. And whatever you do, make sure you're increasing. In other words, we just all need to know that we all are to be fruitful and we all are to keep growing in God. He always has more for us. That's his original command. And here's how we know this is because in right before we get to that passage in verse 28, God begins the verse by saying, God bless mankind. And when God says he blessed mankind, what he really means is that he has put a seed on the inside of us that cannot help but grow. And so what God does is that God has given us four rhythms of life to allow us to walk in the increase that he has for our lives. He has given us four things that God has given us, four things so that we can continue to live out this increase in our lives. And I want to highlight those four things. And those four things is this: it's worship, it's godly habits, it's serving God, and it's community. It's a rhythm that we see throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament that we see Jesus practicing, that we see many of the prophets and many of the leaders of the faith practicing this rhythm of godly habits, of worship, of serving, and of being inside of a godly community. It's this rhythm, and the rhythm is all about you. It's all about allowing you to walk in the increase that he has for your life. So here's what Satan does, right? Right when Satan saw this scripture that we are to be fruitful and that we are to increase in everything we do, he could not attack the seed that God put on the inside of us. But what he does do is that he attacks the rhythm that allows you to walk in the increase. And so what he does in life is that he doesn't do sin for sin's sake. He does sin to attack your worship to God. Sin is not there just for evil's sake. Evil is just not there. Evil is there to attack your community, and evil is there to isolate you from godly community. Evil is also there to attack you and to make you idle and not serve him in your life. And also sin is there to disrupt your godly habits. And so what I want to do is that I want to take just a few moments and look at the life of David, because I believe that the life of David, we can see these four rhythms played out and how the enemy wants to attack the rhythm because he can't attack the seed. And so to your graduates today and to all of us in here today, we all have a seed that God has put on the inside of us, and that seed is always growing, it's always increasing. And God is saying today, I've given you the rhythms, so make sure you protect the rhythms, because when you protect the rhythms, you walk in the increase. Are you with me this morning? You're not. So what I want to do is I want to look at the life of David for a few moments. David is somebody that we can learn so many lessons from and truths from. And the first point I want to highlight is the daily habits. The first rhythm that we can see is the daily habits. And daily habits are the ingredients for seasonal miracles. I'm going to say that again. Daily habits are the ingredients for seasonal miracles. I think about David in 1 Samuel chapter 17. He's out and literally in the middle of nowhere. He tells of us how he had a habit. He was a shepherd. He took care of sheep, and he was out in the fields and somewhat just doing ministry and doing life and then going through the mundane over and over and over. David was a shepherd, and what shepherds do is that they have a very tight routine. They get up over two times in the middle of the night to be sure that any predators don't attack the herd of the sheep. A shepherd gets up two times in early in the morning and to make sure that the sheep are being protected and they're not being attacked by any predators. A shepherd will make sure that his flock was in the right position to have all the ingredients of food and water that they need. See, a shepherd had habits, and David had developed habits over his life that led toward him doing great things for the kingdom of God. And shepherd was a person, and David was a person. And in fact, the Bible records of him out in the middle of the wilderness taking care of his flock, that there would be at times and bears that would come out and all type of animals that would come out to try to attack these sheep. And what we learn from David in this passage of scripture, and what we learn from David is this, that the daily habits always lead towards seasonal miracles. You see, if it wasn't for David in the fields taking care of the sheep, David would not be able to conquer Goliath. As a lot of us in life, we got some big miracles that we're praying for, but God just wants you to kind of get busy in the field and taking care of the sheep, right? And so I just want to encourage you, like, honestly, like, I remember my first ministry job, Brittany and I was in high school. Brittany was the worship leader for the youth group, and my youth pastor, I thought that he's going to make me like one of the grand youth leaders, and I was excited. We had this time where he would give all the youth leaders their assignment, and I was in high school. And I thought I was going to be like the guy who transitioned from worship to the sermon. I was going to have the mic in my hand. I was excited for that. Then my youth pastor said, hey, go clean the toilets for 6 months. It's not the microphone, Pastor Matias. But what I learned in that is that cleaning the toilets and cleaning the bathrooms, just did it over and over and over and over. And now I'm to the point, this where I'm at today. And it's only because I begin to engage in habits. Habits are awesome, and we were talking to some young couples the other day, and we had the opportunity to buy our first home when we was 27 years old. And you might be confused with that statement because I bought my first home at 27 years old, but we started preparing and putting godly habits when we was 22 years old, right? So we really didn't buy the house at 27, we just started at 22. And a lot of times in life, like, God wants to tell you that, yeah, there are some great miracles that he has for your life, and there are some great things that you're believing for, and yes, he wants you to keep praying, and yes, he wants you to keep believing, but what he really wants for you is to engage in habits, because it's your habits that are going to lead to your seasonal miracles. And I believe that this, that God has so much in store for us. In fact, as we just read, God has put a seed on the inside of us, that we are to be fruitful, that we are to increase, but those don't come without the rhythm of habits, godly habits. So this is why in our Keep Growing class, we spend a whole entire class talking about godly habits, teaching you how to walk through godly habits, because here's why. Because if the enemy can attack one thing in your life, he can attack your godly habits, and he can allow you to live a life that's unintentional. Just go through life, no goals. No daily goals, no weekly goals, no monthly goals, and you begin to have no habits that lead towards the seasonal miracles that God has for your life. So I want to encourage you. The first thing that we learn from David, the first rhythm that God gives his people, is godly habits. Secondly, that what we learn from David is fellowship. Fellowship. As we see this lived out with David and Jonathan. And the attack of the enemy, if he can attack one thing when it comes to this habit and when it comes to this rhythm, is this. Satan wants you to do life alone with no friends. That's what he wants. And so what evil does, what sin does, sin isolates you. I was talking to some young college students the other day. I told them, hey, porn is not just, it's nasty. Porn is nasty. It's bad. It's bad for you. But what porn does is that it allows you to have enjoyment alone. See, Satan, he wants to do anything to get you to enjoy life alone. Satan is excited when you can come into this building and not know names and not have friends. Here's why. Because if you can go through life alone, it is the very thing that might prohibit you to walk in the increase that God has for your life. And so we learn this in David's life. David had his a close friend in Jonathan. I mean, Jonathan was there and David was going through tough times. I mean, they had a covenant with each other, as we see in 1 Samuel 18. They made a covenant with each other. I'm reminded of David when he was comforted by the broken and by other people in the middle, in the caves, when Saul was seeking after his life. David learned this principle of living in community, because it's community that allows us to walk in the increase that God has for your life. I remember when we, tell you what, one of the times I cried the most is we were moving. We were living in a small apartment in downtown Orlando, and I just remember Brittany and I, we were in ministry for, at that point, about 2 or 3 years at a church, and great things were happening in the church, great ministry growth was happening. We were excited. God was doing great things, and we had people at our house pretty much every day. We were trying to engage in community. I remember it was time for us to move. And you know, you realize, you find out if you got friends or not when it's time to move, right? Everybody is gone. No one wants to answer their phone. So we were moving out of our little small apartment. We didn't have much, and I just remember having to move by myself. And Brittany was there taking care of Jalen at that point. I had to be like 6 months old at that point, and I mean, she was really, really small. And so Brittany was taking care of the baby, and I had to move, and I had a little Ford sports track. We had to put the bed on top, and I'm not a handyman-y guy, so I was just tying stuff on there and just holding it. I was holding the bed, driving a car to our other apartment, and I just remember being alone. I remember sitting it was just a staircase, and our apartment's right there, and then Brittany was taking care of the baby. I remember just sitting down on the staircase and just weeping. And honestly, I get even emotional thinking about that moment even now. Because I realized that I was doing all this ministry and doing all this stuff, but I had really no close friends. I didn't have anybody there for me. And we never had the opportunity to live close to our families. The closest we ever lived was about 4.5 hours away, so we've always been away from family, and I just remember being alone. And so I remember the time where we had to pack our U-Haul alone and to move here to Virginia over 6 years ago. So we drove through the middle of the night because we had a young child and she sleeps the night, and so we're like, hey, let's just drive through the middle of the night, and we drove. Brittany followed me with the other car, and I drove the U-Haul. And I remember pulling into, driving in, getting off of, I think, exit 60 or 61, getting off 90, coming from 95, going 95 north, and getting off that road. And I remember we pulled into our house. And that moment changed my life. Because when we pulled into our street, there were 30 Cornerstone people clapping, ready to unload our U-Haul. And for me, it changed. Like, honestly, like, my ministry got more effective. Like, my life got more effective when I started to live in godly community. And so when we talk about small groups here and with the college group here on Thursdays and with all of our small group opportunities that you can sign up for, we talk about small groups and our Keep Growing class, and the reason why we do it, because I believe there's increase on the inside of you. I believe that God wants you to be fruitful, but it is community, the community that unlocks that increase in your life. And so David did so. David knew this principle. And so especially for you graduate who's going out to college, I just want to encourage you got to find godly community, because it's that that's going to unlock the increase in your life. In fact, God requires community for things to multiply. I think about another rhythm that David had in his life, and it was a rhythm of worship. And this is probably one of my favorite rhythms. And this is David. If you read Psalms 34, he says, I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. I'm reminded of 1 Samuel chapter 21, when David was, he was fleeing from Saul. In fact, he had fled to the Philistines, and he was just trying to just do it, and he was doing life alone at this point. and he fled to the Philistines, and he was just there. He was in his unknown place, and he had to play like he was crazy to get out of that situation. And the scripture records that David went to a tree, and he was alone on this mountain, and he's by himself, and that's what most scholars say, that where he wrote Psalms 34, where he says, "I will bless the Lord, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth." This is the lowest point of David's life. This is the dark moment of David's life. In fact, if it was a movie, it would be the part of the movie where everyone's disappointed and everyone thinks it's all over. Because David is all alone and he's fled from Israel. He's saying, forget about being the king. He knew that God had called him to be the king, but he was sick and tired of running for his life. He was sick and tired of being heartbroken. He was just sick and tired of life. And you know how life gets us. And life just comes and it throws us surprises. And sometimes life just overcomes us. And sometimes we say to God, "God, this is too much." So David said to himself, "This is too much. I'm running away." He went to an unknown place and had to play crazy to get out of it. David's dark moment. And this is where he wrote, "I will bless the Lord, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth." Here's why. Because David knew that this is a rhythm that unlocks increase in our lives. It's worship. And I know we talk, especially in church culture, that our life is worship. Everything that we do is worship. And I get that. But I'm talking about that the worship where we can get together with God's people and sing songs unto his name. I'm talking about the worship where life is overwhelming to you and you have to go into your room and play a worship CD and just begin to get lost in God's presence. That's what I'm talking about. And it's that allows you to walk in your increase. And if you could put that in your rhythm, man, it's awesome, because here's why. The enemy wants to attack your worship. And so what he does is that sin is not there, like I said, for sin's sake. Sin is there so it can attack your worship. Sin is there so that it can get you to worship everything else and to get you focused on everything else and to get you overwhelmed with life instead of being overwhelmed with God's presence. If the enemy can get you to worship anything else, he's won. And so he can attack the seed. He can attack your increase, but he can attack your worship. And he knows about that. And so David knew about this, and David, he knew that he had to be a worshiper. I remember there was a moment where a few months ago, we were getting ready for this church plant, and just, you know, there's challenges to it, you know, and it's the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. And honestly, I remember I telling Brittany, I said, "Brittany, this is getting too much, you know, just to trying to do everything that it does you need to do to get a church off the ground." And I told Brittany, "This is getting too much." Remember Brittany reminded me, she said, "When the last time you spent time with God in worship?" And so I went downstairs, we have a little book room. I went downstairs and literally I put on like the portable speaker and I began to play an old school song that a song where I first came. It was part of the worship set that I came to Christ on. It was an old school song and I began to sing it. "I'm coming back to the heart of worship, where it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus." And I kept singing, "I'm sorry, Lord, for the things I made it, because it's all up." And I just kept singing, and I kept singing. And it was in that moment that God began to encourage me. It was in the rhythm of worship that God began to do something special in my heart in that moment. And I have been energized and I have been focused. I mean, because of the rhythm of worship. And I just want to encourage you, like, the reason why we really emphasize corporate worship, the reason why we emphasize us coming to this room together and to worship our God, because I believe worship brings the right things into perspective. I believe this, that when we begin to worship, worship allows God to remain at the throne of our hearts. It gives us, worship provides the right perspective, position, and power for growth. David knew how to worship. And lastly, I want to finish off with the last rhythm I believe that God gives us so that we can walk in the increase that he has for our lives, is that he gives us the rhythm of serving. And the way he attacks serving is that he wants to make us idle. He wants us to make us comfortable. I think about David in 2 Samuel chapter 11, the narrative of David and Bathsheba. And this is a story where David was, he was a king and he belonged in the battle. He was supposed to be out fighting with his people, but he decided that day to live off the work that he did in the past and stay in his palace. So he stayed in the palace and he was being idle in that moment. It was in that moment the enemy had a window into his life. And so what happened was he began to do some really horrible. He saw a young lady across the way and he reached out to that young lady, brought her over to her house, and he put that young lady's husband in the front of the battle so that he can lose his life. David committed murder. David was idle. And, a few years ago, I had the opportunity to go when I was in college. I had a friend of mine who was a hallmate of mine, and we went hunting in Alabama. And he had family in Alabama, so we went there. I went over a Thanksgiving break. This is my freshman year in college. And while we were there, we were in hunting, and I was expecting, I'm a city boy from Miami, Florida, so I was expecting hunting to be like, you know, how you shoot the ducks on, you know, like the Nintendo, you know, you just kind of shooting everything, whatever. But I didn't realize that hunting is the most boring thing you can do in your life. I didn't know that. No one told me. I thought it was going to be action-packed, shooting things, and it's going to be awesome, but no. Just waiting, and waiting, and waiting, and whispering, and whispering, and whispering. So we went hunting, and I just remember we were out, we were there, and literally my friend, he tapped me. He kept tapping me. I'm like, dude, what are you tapping me for? And he pointed, and we saw a little bow there, and he said, go for it. And I went for it, and, you know, as soon as the deer came, like, they had these dogs that would bring the deer to the area. And the dog came back in the area, so the deer just took off. And right as the deer took off, I shot and I missed. And so we're like, oh man, I missed that. And so literally 15 minutes later, another deer was there, but this time it was still. And I got it. It was a 4-point deer. My friend asked me, do you want to skin it and kill it and cut its neck? I'm like, no, bro, that's weird. But here's a lesson my friend was telling me. He said, hey, man, it's really tough to shoot moving deer. It's really easy to shoot deer that are still. And I believe that in this moment of David and Bathsheba, David was still. He was idle. He wasn't doing what he was supposed to do. And he wasn't being effective into advancing God's kingdom. And then it's there when the enemy got him. And so I believe this, that one of the ways that we can walk in our increase that God has for our lives is that we begin to serve God. And this is why we emphasize serving. Because when you're idle and when you're not serving the local church, when you're not serving God's kingdom, you leave yourself vulnerable for it. And so, and I just want to encourage you with this truth, that the reason why we really emphasize Sunday morning serving, and that we need volunteers for kids ministry and greeting and all these things. It's not just for the sake of the ministry, it's keeping on going, but it's for your increase sake. And we believe that God wants to do something special in your life, and serving does that. And in fact, serving God is the engine that drives you forward into what God has for your life. It drives you forward. And I tell you what, I'm not sure if any of you have been on a mission trip or you've been on any type of trip. A lot of our graduates, we've been on several mission trips together, and you know the feeling that you get when you're there. You think you go there to serve somebody and you leave more energized and more focused and more encouraged and more fueled to do what God's called you to do. Here's why. Because serving is the engine that drives that. And so when you're idle and when you're living off what you did in the past and you're not really focus on what God is doing right now, that's when the enemy wants to attack you. And David, he had done great things in the past. In fact, he had built this palace. He, at this point, had built the house of God. At this point, had brought Jerusalem, but had taken over Jerusalem and made it the city of David, has made it this awesome kingdom for the people of Israel. This is literally one of the best times of the people of Israel. This is the height. This is the climax of the narrative of the Israelites. This is awesome. And it's easy for us to sit in, it's easy for us, especially for us Christians that's been a Christian for a long time, it's easy to sit back and relax into what we did yesterday. I believe that some of the greatest hindrances for us walking to what God has next for us to do is what God did for us. So focus on what he did and what we did to make that happen. And God says, I have more for your life. I have more for you. And I want to use you. I want to do something special in your life. And I just want to encourage you. Like as some of you need to sign up for the Keep Growing class, like what we do, we walk with you. We hear your passions. We hear exactly how you were created. And we put you in a place where you can live out your calling the way that God has designed you to be. We believe that serving is the engine that drives you forward into what God has for your life. And this is the rhythm that God has for you. And especially for you graduates, I believe that God has given you daily habits. He's given you worship. He's given you community. And he's given you the opportunity to serve because he has so much more to increase in your life. He wants you to be fruitful, and he wants you to grow. He wants you to keep growing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Jesus, to be used by you, God. And Lord, we are grateful that you have so much more for us, God. And Lord, it's such an awesome experience. It's a hopeful gospel, a hopeful message to know that you always want to do more in our lives, Jesus. And so God, we know the enemy can attack our seed. He can attack what we're called to be, but he can attack our rhythm that allows us to get there. So God, would you help us to have great daily habits? Lord, would you help us to find community? Lord, would you help us, Lord, just to have a lifestyle of worship, a time that we just constantly worship you, Lord. And Father, would you allow us not to be idle, but would you allow us to serve you, Lord Jesus? God, we love you. And as I'm praying right now, if there's anyone here today, you say, you know what, I've never given my life to Jesus, and I want to give my life to Jesus, or I want to rededicate my life to Jesus in this moment. And some of you may be here, you say, you know what, I want a new start. I know God has so much more for me. I know God wants to increase my life. I know God wants to make my life fruitful. And if you are here today, you say, I want to make that commitment today. Would you just slip your hand up so we know how to pray with you? Amen. See those hands. Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God, we thank you, Jesus. God, thank you for those who just make this commitment, God, to give their lives to you, Jesus. God, this is a miracle that's happening right now, God. Father, we thank you. And just lastly, I want to pray for another group of people that are just particularly in all the rhythms that we talked about today. I feel like the enemy really has attacked our worship. Worship is really hard for you. I want to pray for you. For those of you, you say, you know what? I mean, the enemy has attacked my focus. I begin to worship so many other things instead of worshiping him. I begin to be overwhelmed by so many different things instead of being overwhelmed by his presence. That's you. Would you slip your hand so I can just know how to pray with you? Yes, several hands. Thank you, Lord. Father, we pray for those who wants to a renewed worship in their lives, God. Would you just touch them, God? Would you allow them, Lord Jesus, to have those times with you, Lord, that they can just worship, God, that they can seek you with all of their hearts, God. Lord, I pray for their worship times, God. Would you show up there and would you just begin to re-energize them, God? Would you just confirm them, Lord God? And would you be on the throne of their hearts, Lord, we pray. And Father, we thank you for the service, Lord. We thank you for our graduates, both college and both high school and all of our graduates, God. We thank you that you're taking even all of us to the next level. Lord, we love you and we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you all stand with me? I just want to say the Lord's Prayer together. Would you all just kind of hold hands to the person next to you? And as you are leaving today, we're going to be passing out little invite cards for our next series. So we encourage you to give that out to any friends that you have and work, just co-workers and things like that. So let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day a daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. God bless you all. You guys have a great week.